Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Dan Hermes. Dan is a Xamarin MVP, an author, a developer, a consultant. He's the president of Lexicon Systems. You can read his blog at Mobile C Sharp Cafe. That's MobileCSharpCafe.com. All one word. Dan, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jesse?
I am very well, and I'm very pleased to have you on your first visit to yet another podcast, as you are the author of one of my favorite books on Xamarin.
Thank you very much.
What makes it my favorite, in addition to it being very well written and comprehensive, is that I got to write the foreword. So what could be better?
It couldn't be better than that, and it's one of my favorite things about the book.
I appreciate that. I would like to talk to you about your book fairly extensively today, but let's start with the couple pieces of startling news, which is that Microsoft has acquired Xamarin, and one of the very first things that it did was to make Xamarin free.
Absolutely. It's extraordinary news, and it's exciting in a lot of ways.
Before this week, Xamarin was $1,000 per seat per developer, per platform. Today, it's included for free in Visual Studio. That is an astounding change, and I wonder what you think about the implications of it.
Well, it is astounding. I think it confirms what we all suspected, those of us who have suspected for a while, that the Xamarin platform is an indispensable part of the Microsoft tool suite, and it just took a while for the powers that be to see it that way.
What do you think the implications of reducing the cost to zero are going to be in terms of adoption and interest in Xamarin?
Well, we've seen the numbers. Xamarin has been very public about the numbers of the number of downloads that they've had from developers of the Xamarin platform, and that number exceeded 1 million downloads not too long ago, late last year. And so this implicated that the number of Xamarin developers was in the hundreds of thousands, possibly quite over 500,000. And so although I don't have the numbers at the tip of my fingers as to the number of C-sharp developers, we know it's considerably higher than that, and we know it's many times that. And so the primary implication here is that the individuals and the organizations who are already using C-sharp and .NET, who were possibly curious about Xamarin but were holding off because they weren't interested in paying the license expense, you know, beyond the free trial, are going to engage with Xamarin. So I think what we're going to see is a huge uptick in people who are going to try Xamarin in a serious way.
So trying Xamarin in a serious way sounds good for people who write books about Xamarin and do Pluralsight courses about Xamarin.
That's quite possibly true, Jesse, it is.
So our perspective may be a little skewed out of self-interest.
It very well may be.
Let's talk about your book, Xamarin Mobile Applications Development. Is unusual in a number of ways. Can you talk a little bit about the approach that you took?
So the primary way, I think, in which it's unusual is that I decided to address the issue of what platforms to write about in a holistic way. Instead of addressing it in a sort of a siloed way, which is the way that's been addressed in most previous books, and even in the Xamarin documentation. That is, what do you write about? Do you write about Xamarin Forms? Do you write about Xamarin iOS? Do you write about Xamarin Android? I decided, you know what? I want to know about all three. And so anyone coming into the field, anyone wanting to be serious about Xamarin development, is going to want to know something about all three. And if they're new, they're going to want to know a little bit about all three. If they're experienced, they're going to know about a lot about one or two, and going to learn a little bit going to want to learn more about another one. And so what I decided to do was structure the book in a way such that a developer could pick a topic like layouts, like navigation, like data binding, and then tackle all three Xamarin platform offerings on that particular topic: Xamarin Forms, Xamarin iOS, and Xamarin Android.
It seems to me, however, Dan, that the emphasis is on Xamarin Forms, with the Android and iOS as background and as context. Is that a fair reading of your book?
Well, I think it's fair in the sense that half of the book is about Xamarin Forms. If you do a page count, though, about 200 of the 400 plus pages is about Xamarin Forms. So I think that would be correct.
All right. I will say that I learned quite a bit about iOS and Android, but that's because I was fairly checked out on forms. I'm trying to think about what the experience would be like for reading this book if you came to Xamarin cold with no knowledge of any of those platforms.
Well, yeah, that's a very good question. And, you know, I didn't really know the answer to that question until I started getting feedback upon the release of the book. And time and time again, the answer that I'm getting, and I didn't know whether this would be the answer, so I wouldn't have made this up, is that people who have zero experience, if they pick it up and they start with just Xamarin Forms, they say, okay, really what I want to focus is just learning Xamarin. Let me do that using Xamarin Forms. It's a great sort of ramp onto the platform. They read the first third or first half of each chapter in the book, and you can go through the book rather quickly that way. I've heard now a rather long and growing list of beginning Xamarin folks who are actually quite appreciative of the book and helping them to get up to speed.
Well, that's terrific, because I know that that's a growing audience. And it leads me to the question of what you would propose as the learning path for folks who are C# programmers, but new to mobile programming and certainly new to Xamarin.
Okay, well, that's a good question. So if someone is just coming into it, I would be inclined to suggest that unless they have a predilection, unless they have a leaning towards iOS or Android already, the easiest thing for a C# developer right now who doesn't have a Mac today is to try Xamarin development using the Android emulator. And so maybe they're using Visual Studio Community Edition, or maybe they have a heavier hitting version of Visual Studio, but they have Xamarin running on a Windows machine. And so using an Android emulator is the easiest thing, because you don't have to have a Mac right now in order to do that. There was an announcement that things might change a little bit with that, but for today, Android is the thing for starter C# Xamarin developers. And so then the question is, do they go with Xamarin Android or Xamarin Forms? And so there are some people who might really like Android and might just want to dive right into Xamarin Android, but most folks coming out of C# are going to want something simple and going to help them with cross-platform, and that would be Xamarin Forms. It's just a great starter platform. And so as far as how they might start approaching that, there are books available, obviously mine. There are videos available, obviously your fantastic Pluralsight videos on the topic. You go out and pick up a few starter topics like layouts, for instance. You need to be able to get controls onto a page. If they're working with a company, there are some options like Xamarin University, which has a subscription fee and then has a formidable number of videos that they might start. There is also the Xamarin documentation, which is, I have to say, you know, even today, after many, many years of working in the software industry, it's some of the best online documentation I've ever had the pleasure to work with. So there's that as well.
And that documentation is about to get a lot better, according to what was demonstrated at Build, in that they're going to be moving towards live documentation, where they'll be interspersed with the wording, there'll be code samples that work in place and that you can edit in place as you experiment with what they're teaching in the documentation.
Wow, that sounds great. And it sounded to me like there's also going to be an outreach into Stack Overflow, which means that there's going to be a much more active Xamarin employee involvement in the Stack Overflow community. Before, when we wanted questions answered, we would primarily go to the Xamarin forums. And so you could occasionally get an excellent answer from a community member there, or a Xamarin employee would actually weigh in. But now they're going to be outcasing Stack Overflow, anything with a Xamarin tag in it. So that's going to be good for us as well.
Well, it is certainly exciting times for Xamarin, and your book provides an excellent introduction. And I'd say it goes beyond an introduction to some intermediate topics. But what makes it stand out, as we mentioned earlier, is that it puts forms into the context with iOS and Android. And I may be overemphasizing the forms aspect of your book. It certainly tackles all three approaches. But my sense of the book was that it is an excellent primer on forms with solid background on how the other platforms, the underlying platforms, work.
I think that's a great description. And as far as like the amount and depth of information about each of the platforms, when forms first came out, one of my first questions was, well, what can we do with it? And then what can we not do with it? And that was a question that there was no specific documentation that can answer. And then along with that question, which was, what is the relationship precisely between Xamarin Forms and Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS? Because the explanation was that, well, there's a direct mapping down from Xamarin Forms for Android down into Xamarin Android bindings, and from Xamarin Forms down into the Xamarin iOS bindings, and then over into the Windows Phone bindings as well. And so, but the question was, well, those bindings, we've been working on those bindings for 10 years through Mono and then Monotouch. We can't possibly have 100% coverage. How much do we really have? And then what are our options if we don't have the binding that we want that day? And so a lot of the purpose of the book was really to explore that question. And so in addition to helping to sort of explain and elucidate on a particular topic with a platform, it's also to help create a mapping. And so you can look and see, okay, well, we're going to use a stack layout. We're going to use a relative layout. We're going to use an absolute layout in Xamarin Forms. But what are the equivalents in Xamarin Android, or are there any? Or what are the equivalents in Xamarin iOS, and or are there any? Sort of to give a sense of how Xamarin Forms as a layer sits on top of these other two layers, which is all they are. They're just binding layers, and give us a sense of mappings, and to also give us some ways to approach those when those mappings don't go exactly the way we want, or when we want to expound upon those mappings in the form of custom renderers.
Well, you've raised two points I want to come back to. One is custom rendering and what you do when you run off the cliff of Xamarin Forms. But I want to back up for one moment and talk about when Xamarin Forms are used, because it's my impression that the folks at Xamarin were somewhat surprised by how extensively Xamarin Forms are being used and the level of adoption, that they originally thought of it as, well, you can use this for quick and dirty proof of concept, and you can use this for very limited forms. And in fact, it's being used much more extensively than that.
Absolutely. And so when I discussed this topic with Jason Smith, the head of the forms team, I mean, obviously there was the desire to create that sort of a unicornish to solve this unicornish issue of cross-platform UI. I mean, they'd addressed the unicorn of write once, run anywhere from a business layer and from a data access layer standpoint. But still, there was the UI. It was still these chunks along the top of your architecture that were separate by platform. And so the dream would be to have a strip that ran all the way across where you could just write it once and then have it work on all three. But they knew that this was challenging. And all along, they never claimed that Xamarin would be the solution for this. And so I think we're hesitant to put forward a product or an initial product as that full-on solution. And so it was more presented as something that did a few things well and started along this path, to the degree to which we could call it a good prototyping mechanism or a good scaffolding mechanism. I heard these terms used by the Xamarin organization, by people who worked and taught this technology when it was originally released. But to your point, Jesse, when developers got their hands on this, and when companies got their hands on this, developers found it easy to use. They found that it did a lot of things, and companies were just blown away by the possibilities of full cross-platform development in mobile. And so from there, we got tremendous momentum.
You know, it's funny, I've talked to a few developers or heads of development who won't use Xamarin Forms, feel very burned by it, talk about it in very trashy terms. And when you zero in on what it is they don't like, it is that Xamarin Forms does not live up to their expectations, which are so far beyond what Xamarin Forms are being offered for. That is, what they want is a soup to nuts, 100% reuse, yet total control over the UI. And if Xamarin Forms falls down anywhere, it's when you need pixel perfect control over the user interface.
And I agree with you 100%, Jesse. And I, when people ask about, well, which should we use, Xamarin Forms or platform specific, Xamarin Android or Xamarin iOS, there are a few initial conversations about technically what's possible, but it's at the end of the day, it's what you're talking about, which is, it boils down to expectations and personalities. And if someone has a pixel perfect requirement, if someone needs such detailed control over the result, that they're going to be disappointed with Xamarin Forms in almost all cases. And so it depends, 50% of it, there's some technical things that you need Forms to be able to do for a particular app. You go through the screens, you see whether or not it does it. But the other 50%, and maybe the 60%, maybe it's bigger, is what is the level of the expectations of the stakeholders?
Now, you mentioned custom rendering, and let's come back to what that is and how that helps you out of the problem of having your controls look and behave in the way that you want.
Absolutely. So, to your point, when we step off the edge, when we hit the edge of what Xamarin Forms can offer for us. I mean, Xamarin Forms is nothing more than a binding, any more than the rest of the Xamarin platform. That is the Xamarin Android Xamarin API. They're just bindings to a library that's underneath and ultimately down to the metal, down to the SDKs that are on the native platforms, iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. And so when those bindings are not 100%, and they are 100% with Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS and have been for a long time, but when they aren't, which is Xamarin Forms, then we run off the edge. And so I'm going to throw a number out there. I know not many people do, but having written the book on it and having looked at the properties that are covered, I would say that there's a 20 to 40% coverage of the API, depending upon what feature function that you're looking at. And so that means that you're going to hit that edge quite a bit if you're trying to write a real application. You just are. And so if you've decided to commit to it and you've decided that Xamarin Forms is the way to go, that means that you're also committing to compromise on some details. And so you're not going to be able to get layouts to work exactly the way you want. In some cases, you're not going to be able to get list views to work precisely the way you want, or some pages or controls to work exactly the way you'd like to see them. And when that is untenable, when your stakeholder says, or you yourself say, you know what, that's not acceptable. I really do need to be able to change the color on this button. I know I don't have the property to do it, but I need to be able to do it myself. Or I really do need an accordion view that pops out into a bunch of separate list views, and those list views need to look this way, and I can't do it with Xamarin Forms. Then we're over into the area of custom renderers. And all custom renderers are the use of renderers. Renderers is a concept we have always used without knowing it. Renderers are the mechanisms that draw the screens for us when we're doing mobile development, and Xamarin takes care of all that for us. What Xamarin has done here is expose that mechanism to us to allow us access to the renderer for a particular page, a particular control, or a particular control group. Terms are views and pages. And so that means that we can take control of a particular piece of the UI and write that piece using platform-specific code. That means we don't write it in the Xamarin Forms project. We actually write a page over in the Android project or over in the iOS project. And by hooking up, it really is just wiring up a custom renderer properly, Xamarin Forms knows to kick us over to platform-specific page or view in order to execute that page or view when the time is right.
Let me take you in a slightly different direction. Developers have a couple choices. If they want to work in C#, certainly the premier choice would be Xamarin Forms. But then on the other hand, if they are more JavaScript developers, they may want to look at Cordova. Can you compare those two and explain why you chose to go in the Xamarin direction?
Absolutely. So Cordova, which is built upon PhoneGap technology, is and has been the cross-platform mobile development tool set of choice for many years now, or at least many years in mobile terms, before Xamarin became dominant. And the reason why is a lot of the same reasons that the Xamarin is doing well, is that it is a way to develop an application using a single tool set, in this case, C# and HTML and JavaScript, in order to create an application that's going to work on an Android device, on an iOS device, and on a Windows Phone device, etc. And so when one is looking at the differences between Cordova and Xamarin, and these differences, by the way, are one of the first sets of differences that I looked at when I was assessing this problem of how do we move forward with mobile development in business applications back in, I would say, 2011, 2012, before I fully committed to Xamarin. And what I found, by and large, was that although Cordova will meet a lot of the needs of a developer or of a company trying to build cross-platform applications, at the end of the day, you're left still with HTML and JavaScript running on a phone. And not only that, the tool set itself, and you know, I've had long discussions with some Xamarin developers about this, because hardcore Xamarin developers will say Xamarin is better and Cordova isn't as good. But then you look at a lot of companies, and not just Microsoft development companies, but say IBM, for example, one of their seminal mobile platforms runs on Cordova and the PhoneGap technology, and they have been the market leader for a long time in the space of enterprise mobile development. So it's not just something that's been done by even a handful of Microsoft developers. This has been the Cordova has been the leading technology for some time now. And so the question is, why switch? And so when you sit down and start looking at how the two of them behave and perform, and what they are in essence, a lot of Xamarin applications just seem to perform better. And I've gone back and forth with Xamarin developers and even some Cordova developers as to why that might be. And I can't say for certain, but I can tell you what the consensus is. And that is, it's not that it's necessarily impossible to write a fantastic, fast, performant, non-janky Cordova app. It's just that it's harder. And out of the box, it's harder. And there are fewer developers who know how to do it. And so that, combined with the fact that people are understanding the value of a native app, that is an app that is just either an executable or as close to an executable as you can get, that you can just put up into the store, that has value. And so there are an increasing number of reasons why one might want to go with Xamarin, other than just you love the language and you love how it works. There are actually some practical reasons, but there are one or two good reasons why you might want to strongly consider Cordova. And I think you hit one of them, which is you just have a developer or a team of developers that are maybe a little stronger with HTML and JavaScript than C#. You might do better with Cordova. The other answer is, if you have a limited budget and you need to create not just a web app, but also a mobile version of that web app, Cordova will get you to that endpoint more quickly and more cheaply than Xamarin will.
The typical short answer that I give clients when they ask which to use is, I start with who are your developers. If you have web developers, then you may very well want to look at Cordova because you're going to play to their expertise. If you have a group of C# developers, the on-ramp to Xamarin is going to be much easier because they're going to be leveraging their existing skills. Do you accept that distinction, or do you think it's too simplistic?
I think that's a great answer. If we're just starting with staff, I think that's a perfect answer.
All right. I want to wrap up by talking about your book. Let's plug it a little bit more. It's called Xamarin Mobile Application Development, Cross-Platform C# and Xamarin Forms Fundamentals, which is a mouthful of a name. It's an A-Press book. Once again, they've made the author's name way too small for my taste, but that's a long fight I've been having with publishers. This is copyright 2015, so it's a very recent book, and the table of contents is extensive and deep. That is to say, not only is this a great introduction, but it takes you well beyond introductory material into intermediate. Dan, you're doing something that I think is a little bit unusual for technical books, which is you are on a book tour with your book. How has that been going?
That's been going extraordinarily well. It's great to be able to connect to the community about the book and about the topics.
And where has your book tour gone?
So far, Florida asked me to come first, and so I came to Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale. Actually, last year, Manhattan, went to New York, Washington, D.C., Ed Snyder's group, of course, Boston, where I'm based. And then there's the continued schedule is there's a few cities in Texas, would love to hit Atlanta, and then California, and then continue from there.
Well, we'll put a link on the page for this podcast for your blog and where folks can find out more information about upcoming book tour sites.
That sounds great. I urge people to come out and join me.